Good morning, everyone. I'm calling to order the July 16th, 2024 Town of Ponce Inlet Special Meeting, our budget workshop, to order at 10 o'clock a.m. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All council members are present and in chambers. So, Mike, if you would please begin our discussion.
Sure. Thank you very much, Mayor. So, about a week and a half ago, we were able to send out the proposed budget to the council, along with a budget memo explaining the different funds and the requests that had been made. Today, I have a presentation for you, just kind of go through this, the budget and some of the other things related to the budget. Starting out with a recap of our meeting, our preliminary budget meeting last time. So this kind of sets the tone and the framework for how we went about preparing the budget. So just to recap, we have general operating reserves of 6 months. Most of our hurricane expenses have been reimbursed. We do have rising costs continue. That includes the cost of 8 new staff positions. But thankfully, there's been less of an increase from what we saw last year in insurance, wages, and benefits. We have our obligations of loans in the form of grant payments and matches. That's not including our septic to sewer loan. Our property values have gone up 9% in town. The proportion of homestead properties is the same at 47%. And then we were able to adjust our water and sewer rates last year to meet the cost expectations. Okay, some of the also recapping here, the priorities. We have capital purchases, and these are what was identified in the budget memo and discussed last time. Capital purchases in the form of equipment, such as a new fire truck, et cetera. Projects of construction, and you see that's a big price tag for that. That's for $5,780,000. $5.2 million of that is the septic and sewer, so that kind of skews these numbers a little bit. But nonetheless, that's part of the construction activity that we're anticipating next year. We have our maintenance activities. We did throw in just kind of an amount for the Harbor Village Boardwalk, although the council has not made a decision on that yet. We have professional services, including our salary survey. No personnel being requested. And then there's a number of other miscellaneous expenses, a total of which all adds up, again, to about $6.7 million. So here's the overview of what we're going to talk about today. We're going to go about discuss the key services that the local government provides to its citizens. We'll talk a little bit more about the budget and tax environment. And then we'll get into service levels, because ultimately what we do, what we provide as a town, is about level of service to the community. And then finally, we can discuss options for millage rates and then the next steps. Let's start with public safety. This is our most important service that any community can provide. What I've done here is just put together some pictures of our different departments and what they do. And this is our police department here at the top left. This was the Best Foot Forward program that you remember back in May, and they're going to do again this year, where it was essentially a crosswalk operation to see if pedestrians were if cars were stopping for pedestrians as they entered a crosswalk. Police has been teaching self-defense classes. They have training, of course, and then down at the bottom you see traffic operations for our busy weekends here with the beach traffic. And then on the lower right-hand corner, that's typical law enforcement with traffic stops. There in the bottom middle, you see those are some of the new police trucks that we've started leasing. Public safety also includes our fire and EMS services. What you see there at the top, first three pictures on the top there, that's their training. They undergo training to make sure they're up to date on their techniques. And we have a lot of new officers this year, so that's an important component of what they do, is to make sure that they're able to provide that service. On the upper right there, you see they were actually provided a CPR class for our citizens. Of course, in the education down at the lower left, that extends to youth. It's our next generation of firefighters. They help out, of course, with our cultural events, too, as needed. That's our tree lighting ceremony below. And, of course, they have the coolest vehicles. So that's our current fire truck right there. Cool, but extremely important to what they do. There we go. Infrastructure. This is kind of the skeleton or the backbone of the community. If you think about pipes, roads, all of that, how people and things get back and forth, and that has to be maintained. So there, the upper left, that's maintaining a swale on Beach Street. They repair our sidewalks, keep our roads safe. They maintain our water lines and our stormwater drainage. And then they study, you see on the right there, that was a copy from a recent report that was funded by Public Works on analyzing the drainage basins within our community. Key services also extends to information technology. It's you can think of it as these wires, just like a sewer pipe in terms of stuff moving back and forth. You have to have this, or a road. In this case, it's data. This town has invested extensively in its IT network and IT staff to make sure that we have the right equipment and technology on which we now depend. It's this modern business today, and which also customers expect. Key services are also provided by our Planning and Development Department. They're not only a regulatory agency in terms of permitting and inspections, but also a planning agency. This is on the left side there. That's a shot from our watershed master plan that was recently completed. Their job is to look into the future and see what kind of services are needed or what needs to be done to cope with future conditions. Often overlooked is our administration. That includes our finance, town clerk, and HR. You see on the left side there, that's the cover of our recently completed audit. That is our eighth perfect audit in a row done by our staff. And they are also, as the town clerk's office, in charge of overseeing our elections. That's in the middle there, that's the proclamation announcing this year's election. And then, of course, the HR function of that department makes sure that staff has the right benefits with health care, insurance, et cetera. Handles workers' compensation claims and also labor disputes. And then we have cultural services. This is what kind of adds the joy to our lives. We have the World Encephalitis Day, events at Ponce Preserves a Planet, Easter. Jackie, also our cultural services manager, she headed up a removal of invasive species event. And then brings in speakers like the one on the lower right, and then of course maintains our facilities like our pickleball courts. Let's talk a little bit now about the tax base. This is ultimately how these services are funded in large part. Excuse me. The tax base of the town has changed a little bit from last year. You see the number of single family and condominiums and residents, and then the yellow numbers, that's the change from last year. So 11 more households in Ponce Inlet. The number of homesteaded versus non-homesteaded has fluctuated slightly, but the percentage-wise remains the same. So we're at 47% of the households here in Ponce Inlet are homesteaded, leaving 53% as non-homesteaded. And then below you see at the bottom, the median taxable value of any home in Ponce Inlet overall is $343,558, and that's an increase of over $27,000 from last year. Now this tax base then, we use this to calculate the projected revenue when we compile the budget. So the gross taxable value is over $1.3 billion of all properties in Ponce Inlet. And that's a 99.07 increase over last year. At that rate, each tenth of a mil is expected to generate $126,844. So as you go about looking at the budget today, think about that, how you might want to, may or may want to adjust things. So we're going to present two scenarios to you today. The first is at the current millage rate of 6.2779. If we keep it at that millage rate, it would yield almost $8 million. This is over $600,000 more from the rolled back rate for this year. The alternate scenario is what this budget is proposed and compiled from, and that's a proposed rate of 6.625. And that would generate $8.4 million of revenue. And that's at a 95% collection rate because we can't quite get all of it. So that's $447,000 above the current millage rate and over $1 million above the rollback rate. You can see in our general fund, this is the fund that most of the money comes in and out of, and that's what funds our day-to-day operations. This pie chart shows the source of this general fund revenue. As you can see, about 79% of that is projected to come from ad valorem taxes. We are highly dependent on that in Ponce M. That's just the nature of the community, the way we are, the percentage of homes to commercial businesses. So in any case, this you see we have, there's some from permit fees, there's quite a bit from that. There's other different kinds of grants and charges for service, but by and large, the most part from our general fund revenue comes from taxes. This is a comparison here of the percentage of ad valorem revenue compared to other cities in Volusia County. This is from 2023. You can see Ponce Inlet is at the bottom. So where we wound up at the end of last year is 62% of our revenue came from ad valorem, percent of the general fund revenue. And that's significantly above other jurisdictions in Volusia County. Okay, then we have, let's get into our budget summary. So we have in our budget, this is how this money is used and the different sources of revenue. Revenues at the top, we have the ad valorem revenue and what's expected to take in. And then all these other charges for service, sales taxes, et cetera. And that balances out at $10.7 million. And then you'll see the bottom half, that is the expenditure side of it, and it comes out to the same amount because it is a balanced budget. But you can see how that is broken out into the different departments. And we also have special funds. These are outside of the general fund. The budget memo goes into detail about the purpose of these funds and how they're used. Some are restricted, like you can only use them for certain things. Others are created as a place to put money coming in from these different sources, like the gas tax. That doesn't go into general fund revenue. It is deposited into these gas tax funds. Other funds are created for special projects, like the septic to sewer. Others are for, again, different sources of revenue. And let's see. Let me just turn to my memo real quick. Yeah, some are related to specific operations, like the water operating and maintenance. That's our utility account. So we take in money from water and utility fees, and then that is used to pay for that service. And then this was analysis of the reserves from what we had and where we wound up. Okay, and then here's how our general fund expenses are broken out. You can see at the bottom, that's police and fire, and that's like 47% of where those expenses go. And then the rest is broken out into different departments in smaller proportions. There's building and code, public works, et cetera. Now here is there are historic millage rates, how they have changed over time. What you see is about 10 years ago, 13-14, we were at 6.5, managed to go down slightly and hold steady for a long time. Went down in 22-23, and then due to a combination of factors such as hurricanes, et cetera, we had to take that back up. And we're still on that growth trajectory at 6.625. But let's keep going here. Now, here's the complete tax bill. People think about millage rate, and they look at what we talk about, how that may affect expenses in Ponce Inlet. But it's important to remember that this is only about a third of what people pay in their overall tax bill. So Ponce Inlet, this was last year. Ponce Inlet was almost 34%. You had Volusia County Schools at a little over 29%. And then the county operating fund was at 28. So we're really just about a third of what people pay when they think about their tax bill. All right, these are some different millage rate estimates that are calculated. We get these from the property appraiser, and it's based on a formula, but it produces this chart where you can look at what each millage rate would be expected to generate. At the bottom is the rollback rate, and you go up from there, then you see the 6.1339. That would be the maximum you could vote for on a 3-2 vote as a council. Our current millage rate of 6.2779 is that's where we are today, and that would require, if we were going to keep that level, that would be a supermajority of 4-5 vote. The budget, as it's been balanced, is at 6.65. That's also a supermajority vote. And then anything above 6.7473 would require a unanimous vote. Now, we developed these priorities starting with our Essential Services Advisory Board. The board has met three times this year, January, March, and then again in June. At their March meeting, that is when they are, by ordinance, required to make a recommendation on the proposed budget. And our items related to public works, fire, and police. And that's really anything over $50,000, but it's all part of it. We give them a list of these things, what we believe is needed, and then we help them prioritize that, and then they vote and make a recommendation. So here's where things stood as of March. In June, they also looked and reviewed the request for Public Works Building B, and that was just a timing thing. I mean, that was just all of a sudden we identified that this building was not usable anymore due to its deterioration. So they did not have a chance in March to include that on their list. Otherwise, that would have been at the top. We talk about projects that are in our tax rate and what goes into that, but it's important to remember that not all projects and items are funded by ad valorem taxes. I'd mentioned earlier we do have these alternate funds. There's some other things that we're looking at. I'll just start at the top here. There are some items in the budget memo which we've gone back and looked at and figured that we can go ahead and fund this year. You know, with any given budget, there are, it's kind of our best guess. You know, and I don't want to say guess. I mean, we look at it very closely, but we have one shot every year to do this. And sometimes things come up over budget, sometimes things come under budget. If they're under budget, that means we can use that money for different things. So these were items, the top three here were what were proposed in the budget memo, but we believe can be purchased this year, between now and the end of September. And that's our replacement plotter scanner and planning and development, portable message board for police, and then the gate motors, replacement gate motors for the public works facility. There are a number of other projects which are proposed for next year which do not affect the ad valorem millage rate, and that would include automatic water line flushers. Those are funded out of the water repair and replacement account. Same thing for fire hydrants, valves, and meters. We have a public works building B, which can be funded entirely out of the land acquisition fund. We have our septic sewer project, tree replenishment plan, which comes from the tree mitigation bank. And then there's the hazardous waste pickup and paper shredding event, which we're proposing for next year. And that comes out of the refuse fund. There are some items we're already looking at possibly deferring to a future year. And that includes hosting the Volusia League of Cities dinner, which looks like that's going to be proposed for December, which would put it into the year 25-26. There's the Civic Plus agenda management software, which we do need to put a hold on that due to new ADA compliance standards. And then looking at, instead of three new lease vehicles, just doing one for this next year. And so at the very bottom, it provided the total. It's at almost $5.7 million. And then without the septic to sewer program, that's almost $500,000. All right, I'd mentioned earlier about providing levels of service. So the budget that you were given and has been balanced is based on this higher level of service. That's the 6.65 mils. And it includes a list of equipment, projects, maintenance, and professional services, which you can see here. And these are all in your budget memo, by the way, but they're itemized here. The total of that is $930,009,500. And this also was provided in your memo is the impact of 6.65 mils on different homesteaded and non-homesteaded properties at different values. So, for example, a homesteaded property at $500,000 would see an increase in their taxes of $256 at that rate. Now, as an alternate for the council to consider, if it so desires, is a lower level of service, which is at the 6.2779 mils. That's where we currently are today. That would be a reduction of about $440,000 from the higher level in terms of what could be purchased and provided using ad valorem taxes. So this is where we would wind up at that lower level. We would still have the ladder truck, the replacement fire hose, these are, and then the generator, which we have received word from the state that we will be getting a grant to help with that. There's our South Peninsula Sidewalk Project, which is we have committed for a long time to do. And then different maintenance and repair activities, such as the stormwater pond excavation. There's a repair of the tennis court that is needed and resurfacing because it's part of the corner starting to cave in a little bit. Gutters of the community center, we see that as a necessary maintenance issue. Because that affects the drainage off the roof and then the foundation to some extent. We have our professional services, including the salary survey, which we believe is long overdue. And then our government affairs consultant and financial auditors, the financial auditors, of course, we use them every year. And then the council has given the go-ahead to use the government affairs consultant. So that'll be proposed for next year as well. And here you see the impact of that millage rate. So at the $500,000 home value for a homesteaded property, the tax increase would be $94 for that year. And this comes out of the budget memo. The unfunded requests in all of this includes, we had initially taken to the ESAB a public works maintenance technician. We have identified a need to replace the roofs of the gazebos at Ponce Preserve. We were initially proposing to do three of those. There's a fire department replacement cascade system, which is their breathing tanks and the system that houses and fills those. There's a bunker gear dryer system for the fire department. And the police department also requested a low-speed vehicle or a golf cart. So none of those are included in this proposed budget. And here you see this is a summary of the different service levels and what would come with it. The high millage rate, that's on the second to the right-hand column, and then there you see the low. That's just what would come with each of those different millage rates. So at this point, we want to turn it over to the council, and really what we need to go forward is to know what millage rate the council is comfortable with. As every year, at this point, starting with our resolution at Thursday's council meeting, the council will be asked to set a millage rate. And that is typically done at the higher level. Once you set that, you can go up from that, but you can always go down between now and the September hearings when the budget is approved. And so we want to hear from the council. Is there anything that you wish to add or to defer? We need to know that, so between now and September, when the final budget is prepared, we'll be able to include that. So here are the steps going forward from this point. We'll have Thursday, the council will be asked to approve the maximum millage rate. We also have on September 4th, the first hearing of the budget and tentative millage rate. 19th is second hearing, and then the October 1st, that's the start of the new fiscal year. So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions, and we have most of our department heads here as well.
Mike, first I want to say this was an exceptional presentation. It was comprehensive, certainly understandable, and you provided us with a very good perspective on this. And what I would like to do is reiterate that this morning is a workshop, and we're not setting a final millage rate at this meeting. Mike laid out when that will occur. And what I would like to do as we begin our work, I do want to call your attention to one aspect that actually wasn't really covered. It's that any or all of the items which may have a benefit or an impact on some but not all of the residents or sections of our community is something we have to look at in this budget. This council is responsible for an entire incorporated municipality of Ponce Inlet. Since we were first incorporated in 1963, there have been and will always be resources allocated to individual sections of the community. Attorney Shepard touched upon this at a prior meeting, but let me expand on this just a little further and provide a few examples. One of the items contained within the current budget is a new ladder truck for our fire department. At a cost of approximately $1.8 million, it offers practically no benefit to the hundreds of single-story homes in our town. This will primarily benefit those residents living in high-rise condominiums. We recently completed an extensive sewer and sidewalk project on Ponce de Leon Circle. Unless you live on that street, it's not going to benefit you. Several years ago, we assisted the residents on anchor and old carriage by supplementing the cost of engineering, surveying, and legal research for their dredging project. Our comprehensive septic to sewer projects are another example. Many of our residents are already connected. Other examples would include building and resurfacing tennis and pickleball courts, kayak landings, and the Veterans Memorial. The list is extensive. My point is that we should not apply the simple test of whether a particular item benefits the entire town. Rather, we must consider the entire town as a single incorporated municipality. And with that, I would like to open it to our council members. And is there, yes, I see that Councilman White wishes to say something at this moment.
Thank you, Mayor. Good morning to everyone. And Mayor, again, thank you for letting us make a quick opening remark. As a fellow council member knows, the two most important tasks that a sitting council member undertakes each year is policy making and the town budget process. The two tasks are never taken lightly, as it's our sworn duty to make the critical task available and open to everyone, and we have to take these two critical tasks to heart. One aspect I hope to accomplish today will be to make sure, as a town council, as town staff, we not only look at the 24-25 budget year ahead of us, but we also understand how important some budget items impact Ponce Inlet's future budget financially moving forward for years to come. We must not only look at one year's budget, how it impacts us as citizens and council members, we also must look at 10 years out. Can we afford what we're asking and requesting and approving to do? Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. So with that, is there any other councilman that wishes? Joe, yes.
Yes. First off, I want to compliment the staff on the enormous detail in the budgeting process. I think it's outstanding, and I've dealt with some very, very large budgets when I was working. This is outstanding in terms of its detail. I really don't have any concerns about what we're looking at. I've gone through this almost line by line. There are some expenditures that may raise a question mark, but when you get into it, if you look at the fire engine as an example, it's something that we need. You brought up a great point about single-family dwellings, and it benefits only the condo users, but you know what? It's all the town, and it's about the town. So these kinds of things, I think we have to look at and just blend it all together and make the best decision for the town of Ponce Inlet.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, just one thing. One of the graphs that we were given, I thought this was interesting. This is the 2014-15 up to the 2024-25 submittal. And I was just curious, because I've been here all those years, sitting in this chair. And maybe they got me a new one finally. But back in 2015, our operating budget for that year was like $5.2 million. Well, if you take that $5.2 million and put the inflation rate into it, that expenditure was actually, under today's dollars, over almost $7 million. Matter of fact, it was, $6,964,257. So when you put that together and what inflation has done, we're not talking about a major raise, because I just put the last year up while I was sitting here, and it went up another 3 cents. So we're talking $30,000 immediately, without talking about any of the other things that we're currently doing. Back in 2014-15, if you remember, we had, I think, Dan, three firefighters per shift. We now have seven additional people. We had, I think, eight police officers. We now have how many, Jeff?
15.
We've increased the services and the protection of Ponce Inlet. We've, and as Lois said, for everybody. That is our job. So 1 year, I made a mistake, and I voted for lowering the millage rate to the back, the rollback. And in doing that, we took our reserve from close to 8 months of a reserve, which is required by law between four and nine, all the way down to 4 months, 3.5 months, I think. It was a disaster. And I rude day that I did it, but I did it and I made a mistake. I will not make that mistake again. I will do everything in my power as a council person sitting here to ask for a supermajority so that we can always adjust down like we have done in the last 2 years instead of what we did 3 years ago. I just want to let you know that. I mean, everybody talks, oh, we're spending more, we're spending more, we're spending more, but this town, the people get wonderful services, and we are trying to correct some of the things by making sure we get the stormwaters, making sure our fire hydrants are up to date, making sure our truck is up to date, making sure we're providing services for our employees so that we don't injure them on a job by having to lift a simple thing like a stretcher. So I just want you to know where I'm going and what this cost factor actually is.
And to add to what you were saying is we didn't even, in what you were saying, didn't also factor in the increase in the property values that the individuals invested in this town, and they are getting a return on their investment.
Well, you saw, you just saw the article.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've all seen the same article. Who is the safest town in all of state of Florida? Did you see the article? Ponce Inlet. So kudos to our employees and what they have put together to present us so that we can have the ability to say something like that. Bravo to them.
And how? Gary?
Well, I was going to bring up what he just said. And that's because what happens when we spend this money? And we've always talked about safety, and it has certainly paid out, paid back, to get that designation. What an honor it is to be able to say we are the safest small town in this state. Well, that costs a little bit of money, and it certainly paid off.
Thank you, Gary. So we've spoken in general terms, each of us, and now if there's anything that you would like to bring out to discuss that is concerning for you that you'd like to add or take out, bearing in mind that I know Councilman Milano, where you're coming from is that you're comfortable, it sounds as though, is with what the supermajority needs at these.
Yes, and let me explain why. Look at the priorities that are not funded under the 6-6. A number of them, to me, are safety issues for hurricanes, just general safety. Mike, can you put up that slide, the unfunded items? I think it was $600,000 or $400,000.
Well, we have the unfunded request, but then here's, is this what you're talking about, the summary between the different rates?
Well, Right. Well, look at the summary. The items that we're not going to provide if we went to the 6-2. If we do the 6-6, look, we are providing. And one of the things I thought was extremely interesting, I remember a firefighter in B2 trying to get a person out of the second story with one of those things, and they didn't have that power backup stretcher with them. It wasn't with them. It was on the other truck. And they needed that. Yes. And I could see them going like this on their backs while they were moving it because the gentleman was extremely heavy. And I was there with Sergeant Rudd one time when they were taking out a person out of C3 that was completely unconscious because he had COVID and never came to before he passed away. And they're trying to do their job, and they didn't have the equipment. They didn't have the equipment to do it right. And that's my concern. I don't want that ever to happen again to an employee. So could you go to the next slide you put up about the unfunded items at the higher level? There was one in there back here. Mm-hmm. This is unfunded requests. Another example. I love examples. You know me. My pool pump guy, the guy that does our pool services, walked into our pump house one day. And there's this hunk of concrete about 2 foot long, about 1.5 feet wide, that had fallen from the concrete poured roof down there. You think that doesn't happen with a simple gazebo roof if it's rotted? Just go to the house next to, it's for sale right now for two something. There's the little park over, walk, drive on over by Ocean View, and they had a bamboo covered palm tree gazebo. If you'll notice, the gazebo's there and there's nothing else covering it because that fell down before these people that bought that house even owned the house. You fund that. You get it repaired. You know, I'm so tired of us, of people in general being reactive to things where we have the opportunity, and you've heard this from me 1,000 times, to be proactive. Figure out what's going to happen and correct it before it happens. And those things to me are important. Now, the dryer, that's important. I mean, so I'm looking at, let the council make the decision to go to the supermajority, and then let the people that are doing the day-to-day come back and say, we need this, and give us a straight millage rate.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you very much.
I got on my soapbox again. I'm sorry.
It was good. Skip?
Okay. I'm going to get on mine now, Bill. Again, I'm going to make several comments, and Mayor, I might have to come back if I get a second opportunity, if you will allow me to do that. But I'm not in favor of the 6.6250, and I've spent probably 5 days going through the budget, and yes, this is my first time as a council member helping draft a budget. It's not my first rodeo as a budget member. In my background from U.S. Food Service, I was in charge of the Southeast, had 13 divisions, and we control some pretty sizable budgets. And so I always enjoy budget day and budget week at that time. I spent 2 hours with staff Thursday of last week going through, you can call it the nitpicking, you can call it what you want, but brainstorming, and I was happy to see some of the things that staff we talked about, Michael, had included in his presentation. And it all came from a two-hour meeting. I don't want anyone to think that I'm not in favor of supporting the town. My job and my sick head tells me I have to be responsible for looking at the future, and that's what I brought to the table on Thursday. What I also want everyone to understand is we would be up the creek without a paddle based on this budget if we didn't have a 9% increase in our property values. That's what I'm looking at. Not that we do not need all these things. So when I get into this, please understand, it's not that we do not need them. It's not that our citizens do not request them. We are making investments in the town. But in my opinion, sometimes we need to take a step back, digest what we've done. And I'm going to give a great example. I remember last year I was standing behind that podium over there as a citizen. I wanted firefighters. I wanted police officers. And you guys know all the years I've attended the budget meetings, that's all I've ever said. Fire department, police department, we want our protection. So we had listed in the budget 6 employees for this year. We hired 8. We had budgeted 6. We hired 8 for different reasons. Those 8 employees cost the town for 6 months $320,000. Every time we do a budget, and I know there's no employees budget for next fiscal year, but I'm using this as an example. $320,000, we said we'll budget them for 6 months. That makes that one budget year look okay. Those same employees for budget for 24-25, $762,159. It's a lot of money. We need them. We need those employees. So please understand where I'm coming from with this. I supported it. I begged for it as a citizen. I'm supporting it now. Every move we make as a council, as a staff, has effect on prior year's numbers. Michael, can you get over to slide, I think it was your presentation of 27 on the fire truck. For the record, I am for the fire truck. I do not want anyone to leave here stating that Skip is not supporting the fire truck. Now, my questions. When we first started looking at the fire truck, I attended the Essential Services Board meeting. It was $80,000. It was for a 3-year wait time. We got our budget packet. It was $200,000, and it was available immediately. Okay, I can live with that. And, correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, this does not impact the millage rate for 24-25, correct?
It does partially.
I'm sorry?
It does partially.
Okay, what I was told Thursday, and I have a email here, because I wanted to make sure that I made that statement correctly, and let me read it to you. It's over here. Okay. And I'm not going to say it was addressed to. He says, thank you. One last question. I just want to make sure I'm correct. The Public Works Building B and the fire truck in 24-25 budget does not have any impact on ad valorem or use reserves for these items, correct? Response has, yes, you're correct. No problem at all. That will have no impact on ad valorem FY24-25.
All right. Tell you what, I'm going to ask Kim McCall to come up, and then she can address that specifically where the sources of the money are coming from.
Okay. And again, it doesn't matter, but I'm trying to piece together the puzzle.
Sure.
And if it does have an impact, I want to understand. And once she explains that, she's looking that way. But I want to turn it around for her. But I want to follow back up on that point, Michael, because again, I'm all for it. I just want to make sure we totally understand it.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Kim McCall, Finance Director. Yes, for fiscal year 24-25, it will not affect the general fund or millage because $110,000 will be transferred from our economic impact fund that we had. That was initially ARPA money,
mm-hmm.
and there's additional money left over that we didn't spend. And then also $100,000 from our reserves in that particular fund, which is the Capital Fire Equipment Fund. So we would not need any money for 24-25.
And that's the way it was explained, Michael, again. So back to that point.
Wait, you have a question right there? I'm sorry.
Come back up for a second.
Get your mic.
You're saying it's not going to affect 24-25. Did it affect 23-24?
Not 23-24 either.
In other words, we've never put one penny in the reserve for any of those items.
Well,
we've never put one penny in those reserves for any of them. How did the reserve get there?
So
the
we
reserve
started.
It was put there for a specific reason, and that reason is to have money available so it won't affect the budget in the future. But the reserve is in the budget. So it does affect the budget. because you're putting more money in the reserve next year, correct?
Not necessarily.
You're going to be building the reserve from 4 months up to, I think it showed, like 5 months or 5.5 months. So it is money that it does affect the budget. I don't understand what you're saying. It does. Any dollar we get affects the budget. So I don't understand how that doesn't affect the budget. Could you re-explain it?
Oh, sure. Okay, so let me try to explain it better. So we started that capital fire equipment fund maybe 3-4 years ago approximately, and we set aside money for purchases that are needed for fire equipment, fire trucks, whatever we need. So we have built up a reserve. We have a balance, according to our last audit, of $115,000 in that particular fund, which is not part of the general fund. So we are not going to need to, it's not going to affect millage for 24-25 because we don't need to do any transfers from the general fund to this fund.
But it did affect the millage previously.
Yes.
Okay. That's all I'm saying.
Yes,
it did affect the millage previously, so it legitimately, and the back end is affecting our millage because we have used it for millage to get in there in the first place. So it's not that it's not funded because we had a fund that previously to get it in there, and that's all I'm saying.
Right. You're
Thank
right.
You.
Correct.
Yeah. And again, Bill, my point to that is it's not in our millage rate, run rate that we're showing for 24-25. We've used past. So I'm just getting it out there, and here I'm going somewhere else with this. So give me a second. I know. Give me a second here. So initially it was $80,000, 3-year wait time. We have time to look at it. Then 2 weeks ago we receive our packet and it's $200,000 available immediately. Yeah, okay, we can try to figure that out. And again, it doesn't affect the millage rate for 24-25. So my next question was, okay, going forward, how does it affect us in 25-26 and for the next 10 years? It's not in the presentation today. I asked the question. I know the answer, I think. I was told it's $160,000 every year for the next 10 years, so it's $1.8 million. Not that that is a bad number, but also understand, before that light switch comes on Monday morning, we're sitting there with $160,000 that we're going to pay regardless if the light switch comes on or not. So I'm struggling saying, hey, man, I'm cool with this. If I don't have the facts and understand, is it a lease? Is it a purchase? And we had that conversation, Mike, on Thursday. Are we going to lease it? Are we going to purchase it? We have options. So all I'm saying, I'm all for the fire truck, but it's a moving target, and it's hard for me to vote on something that is a moving target that we don't have facts on yet. So I'll move on from that one.
Would you like me to respond
Sure.
to that?
Can we get an answer?
Sure.
Yeah, and I also asked Chief Scales to come up here. It is a moving target. All of these are moving targets, and that's because you start with quotes. We can refine those, get additional information as the year goes on. What you've seen, $80,000, that was what was known at the time back in March. You know, sometimes things come up. Well, hey, we got this truck waiting for you. You know, that's something that we didn't know back in March, and it wasn't available back in March, but now it is. Right. There's also different purchase options. This company, and Dan, you can please back me up on this, but if you can, you know, one of them, what you saw was a $210,000 option. That includes a down payment. There's another payment option, which you see here on this slide, that's a lesser amount. That's just the first year with no down payment. But in either case, you're right, Mr. White, this is a long-term commitment. You know, it's going to be paid out over a number of years. It is a lease-to-own model. Is that correct, Dan?
That's correct. It's lease purchase. And you're spot on. Your questions are valid. When we first talked about this project back the first of the year in March, the initial it really was between $80,000 and $100,000. That was going to be a down payment on an engine or whatever piece of apparatus we decided to purchase. Obviously, since that time, things have changed and other opportunities have presented themselves. What occurred, typically, the vehicle that we were looking for, as you said before, there's usually a 2 to 3 year build once you order it. Engines are about the same, probably about a year out from once you order it, unless there's a demo available someplace. One particular manufacturer had an aerial apparatus available that was a demo, which is a very rare occurrence. We felt it was a good opportunity for the town to get into a vehicle sooner for a little bit less money, believe it or not, than if we waited the 2 to 3 year build time. We do know that there's going to be a price increase. We already know from the manufacturer for the engines that they put in because of EPA changes. It's ridiculous the amount of money that they put on these vehicles, plus a percentage increase just for the vehicle. The option that we presented was a lease purchase. You're correct. The payment, I believe, was around $155,000 or $156,000 a year for 10 years, which is a typical purchase option that most cities do. Most cities don't pay cash for these types of vehicles. They do a lease purchase. So to your point, you're exactly right, and I totally understand and appreciate your concern and trepidation with moving forward on that. I get it. It makes sense. Unfortunately or fortunately, it was kind of an opportunity that we saw ourselves presented with, and we felt this was a good option for the town. But we understand. I understand your position.
Good. Good. And again, please understand, I just want the facts. I want the numbers. I want to understand what, you know, this time next year when we're going through budget process, what it's going to be. So when do you think you'll have a solid grasp on what it's going to cost us? We have 2425 covered.
Yep.
Got it. When will we have a solid number on what it's going to cost us going forward for the next 10 years? And I'm not being difficult about this,
no,
I promise.
Mr. Councilmember White, I totally appreciate that.
Yep.
You're spot on. We have that number now. We have the finance options right now. We know what that's going to cost for different years. We do have that.
Okay, so you can send that out to us, Michael, I'm assuming?
Yes, sure.
Okay,
yep. Okay.
I'm good with that. Okay. So don't go anywhere because I'll skip over to something. Building B, and this was very educational for me to understand Building B. And again, totally understand it. I went out there the day after Michael sent the email out that it was in distress. We're now at $275,000, and Bill, hold your ladder, but this is my terminology, but it is not coming out of, excuse me, it's not affecting the millage rate for 24-25. That's correct. Right. So that being said, I think it's important for us to tell the citizens that are here in the council what we're getting for $275,000. And the only reason I say that is because initially it was $150,000, and that was for tearing the building down, moving the generator, doing the design, yada, yada, yada. Then it went to 200, then 225. Now it's 275, which I'm good with, but please tell us what we're getting for the 275, which is different than what we were.
Sure. And again, to your point, those initial numbers, I don't want to say they were swag numbers. They were best guesstimates. When we sat down and took another look at that project, based on experience with other projects that we've dealt with, we felt that the number that we originally had was just not accurate. About 50,000 of that was just the design, architectural, and engineering, and the remaining part of that would be demolition, relocation, the generation, and construction of a new building itself.
If I could add to that, the numbers have fluctuated over time. You may remember last year, the staff had proposed adding a locker room to the public works facility. The generator was out there as well. Staff was looking at expansions of the parking lot, et cetera. When this thing with Building B happened, we looked at an opportunity to combine some of those. So what you see now in that cost, the Building B is as constructed, it would actually be an add-on to the existing building, but it would include those items. And so instead of having them itemized separately, they're all combined. So it's essentially everything except the parking lot.
Okay. And so this is coming out of the land acquisition fund, which is restricted that it takes
public,
the council
public
blessing
facilities
to do anything outside of a building.
Right. It's, public facilities. So that's pretty broad. I mean, that can include any component that's going to go into that building.
And this is going to be a skips question, so that means it's stupid and it's minute. But so any funds of that 275 that are unused will have to go back to the land acquisition fund, correct?
That's my understanding. It's restricted,
okay.
Yes.
I'm just getting clarification. Okay. Thank you. For that one, yeah.
You good, sir?
You might have to come back up. I don't know.
Oh, I'm here.
This one's easy. And again, I hope everybody understands I am not nitpicking anything, but it's education, and I think it's great for us to have the knowledge. And I will make a statement that as a citizen, I was not for leasing vehicles. I've struggled with that my entire life, and it's just a preference of I guess, opinion. But so the reason I bring that up is we currently have 11 lease vehicles that for this year, our total expense is $68,872. And that was for 6 months-ish, because some of them were a moving target, and I did the math. Some were brought in March and some later on. Just to say, next year for a full year, it's $127,000. So again, light switch doesn't come on, it's another $127,000. So I make that statement just as a statement. We have to be cautious and make sure, and we have to have new vehicles. I get that. We don't want to break down. We don't want the maintenance. I got it. Our people have to get around. But I hope that we make sure that we run the wheels off of the cars we have, because we just keep adding to that number. It'll soon be approaching 200 more. And Michael, I did see where you pulled two of the three out of the budget that you had.
Yes, correct.
In there, and thank you for that. And this one again gets back to the police department, the fire department, and standing up as a citizen, and now as a council member. When we went. And this was covered with Michael and Dan at Thursday's meeting. When this came before council last year, we all agreed that we needed safety, and thank the dear Lord, we all did. And I support it as a citizen. I support it now. My biggest question on the expenses for the fire department and the police department is overtime. And it gets back to a personal preference of not wanting to pay overtime or believing in overtime. If you look at our police budget, the overtime is budgeted for double what it is currently run rate for this year. That's including the two new police officers. Our fire department is slightly up in some areas and down, and that's even after hiring 15 firefighters. So I have a concern or a question about the overtime piece. I'm not saying we do not need it. I just have a question about it.
All right. Yeah, well, I can start with the police. A huge chunk of that overtime would be funding the staffing for the public safety vessel. You know, the officers all have their day-to-day routine and shifts regardless of whether that vessel is there. So to get people onto that vessel, that's going to come outside of their regular shift. So the staffing for that would be almost entirely overtime. That's my understanding. Chief, would you like to, do you want to add anything to that? No? Okay. All right. And then Chief Scales, you can help me understand or help explain the overtime with the fire, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure. This year was the first year that we have gone to 5 firefighters per shift, and that is our minimum staffing. That means if there's an illness, day off, injury, we have to backfill that position with an overtime position. And as we fill those positions and we add people, they take additional time off. It costs more to maintain the 5 person per shift. That's the gist of it. And we also know historically, I'm going to have someone leave. I'm going to have somebody on injury leave at some point, some place where there's an extended period of time that they're going to be covered by overtime. So that's the simple answer.
And for council's knowledge and for the public, this is something that staff and I batted around last Thursday, and I'd say it took up an hour and 52 minutes, but I'd be telling a story. But somebody kept talking, and I can't imagine who that was. But I still struggle with the concept, and Dan put it to me the best way, that we currently have staffing, it's 4.
5
per shift. He said we can go back to 4 and you wouldn't have overtime. So I scratched my head. I'm like, well, I'm not saying we need to change our policy and how we operate the fire department. But Michael did bring that up in a meeting. He says, you know, it is an option. We can take a look at it. So I guess my point back to that is if we have extended period of time and our accreditation, as Michael asked the question, it's not in our accreditation that we have staffing of five per shift.
So, actually, it was recommended. That was one of the recommendations.
Okay, I thought, Michael, you said it, we said in the meeting it wasn't in the manual that we had to have it.
I'm sorry. I don't recall saying that.
Okay.